The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The season of Advent, as a time for reflection in a winter period, is a reminder to us that light is never totally absent. For in the words of the spiritual leader, Anne Lewin, Advent is a time for discovering treasure in darkness. This morning's passage from Isaiah is startlingly relevant to us today in 2017 and offers much for reflection in this season of Advent. To put this reading into its original context, the Israelites were captives in Babylon. They were refugees whose land and holy city were in ruins. Without a king or an army, they were weak and helpless, guilty of great rebellion against God. They had suffered humiliation and were facing a great challenge, but lacked human resources. So turning to today, and reflecting on all that is bleak in our world in 2017. Refugees fleeing from war-torn countries, the growing poverty and social inequality, the broadcasting of fake news, and our increasingly jaundiced opinion of politicians. The view of some that the Church of England is dying, that with the average age of its congregation being 61, on present trends, it will not be functioning in 20 years. And in our own lives, perhaps we are facing challenges. The restrictions of ill health, or the limitations of old age, or the difficulties of making ends meet. Perhaps members of our own family or close friends are facing problems. As one priest wrote, "I have come to know that every year, as late autumn slides into winter, I am liable to experience sadness. I feel the encroaching darkness. Everything out there shapes my inner sense of being. The fallen leaves disintegrating back into earth, the rising water, the gusting wind. My stability is tested." So what was the prophet Isaiah's answer to the Israelites? It was, "Don't look at yourselves, but look by faith to the great God who loves you and promises to do great things for you." As it says in verse 9, "Do not be afraid, here is your God." When the outlook was bleak, they needed to look up. "Lift your eyes on high, he is strong in power." So when we, like Israel, face difficulties, we need to do what they did and remind ourselves of the greatness of God. When you see the greatness of God, then you will see everything else in perspective. God is greater than anything else on earth. Creation shows his wisdom, power, and immensity. He is greater than the nations and their leaders. God is greater than our circumstances. Like the Israelites, if we only look back at the past, or if we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed by our current circumstances, then we become subsumed by failure. We lose sight of God, of what God is and what he can do for us. He knows how we feel and what we fear. We need his encouragement. In chapter 40, four voices are heard, each with a special message for those needy people and for us to reflect on. Firstly, the voice of pardon. Verses 1 and 2 recognize that the Israelites have sinned and sinned greatly against the Lord. But they were still his people, and he loved them. Yes, he would upbraid them and correct them, but he would never forsake them. God speaks not in judgment, but comfort. We should note the words, "Comfort, comfort my people, and speak tenderly." Trust the strength of the love that calls you, the love that surrounds you, the love that follows you. Secondly, the voice of providence, the foresight and benevolent care of God. In verses 3 to 5, it is recognized that the Israelites had a rough road ahead of them as they returned to their land, but the Lord would go before them to open the way. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment, as found in the New Testament, was the ministry of John the Baptist, as he prepared the way for the ministry of Jesus. God is not saying that our lives will be easy and straightforward, but if we trust in God, then he will be with us along the way. God with us, God with you, you with God. Thirdly, the voice of promise in verses 6 to 8. All flesh is grass. Nations and their leaders fulfill their purpose and then fade away. But the word of God abides forever. Like grass, there is nothing they can do to help themselves. God will do it. As they begin their long journey home, the Israelites could depend on God's promises. So too for us. If we focus on God and have faith, then he is with us every step of the way. Allow God to come close. And then, in verses 9 to 11, the voice of peace. The Israelites come out of the valley and climb to the mountaintop to declare God's victory over the enemy. The good news then was the defeat of Babylon and the release of the captive Jews. And today, salvation for all who trust in him. God's arm is a mighty arm for winning the battle, but also a loving arm for carrying his weary lambs. In the words of this meditation, where are you looking? You keep looking down and looking back, as if you are afraid that you may fall, or afraid that you have lost something or missed something. But you are looking in the wrong direction, turning in a way that is sending you off balance. Instead, face forward, lift up your head, look up Look not for something, but look for the someone who is alongside you and before you, the one who is looking upon you. Look upon him and be radiant. So in the season of Advent, we need to learn to wait on the Lord by faith. If we look at God through our circumstances, he will seem small and very far away. But if, by faith, we look at our circumstances through God, then he will draw near and reveal his greatness to us. We can never obey God in our own strength, but we can always trust him to provide the strength we need. If we trust ourselves, there is no question that we will faint and fall. But if we wait on the Lord by faith, then we will receive strength for our journey. The word wait does not mean that we sit around doing nothing. It means to hope, to look to God for all that we need. This involves reflecting on him, his power, and his promises. There is nothing beyond his compassion and his power. We cannot dictate the terms or the means, but we can hold on to him with confident hope. So much depends on our faith, a life of faith in God, a life where we truly release ourselves without reservation, a life where we are constantly giving ourselves and our concerns into his caring hands. Through prayer, we can exchange our weakness for his power. As we wait before him, God enables us to soar when there is a crisis, to run when the challenges are many, and to walk faithfully in the day-to-day demands of life. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Wait for the light to shine. Become as one who awaits with faith, with hope, and with love. However deep the darkness, you await the light of the world, the light that will light your way. Amen.
Amen.